Our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel according to John, reading from chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Amen. There are times when the world we live in seems like a very big place. But there are other times when the world seems very, very small. This is one of those times. When a virus that appears on the other side of the globe spreads in just a few short weeks to countries on every continent, the world feels like a very small neighborhood indeed. Even though public health authorities tell us that the risk remains low in Canada, we've been reminded how interconnected our world is. People in places that we once thought of as being far away now feel like they are just around the corner. Faced with a virus that knows no borders and acknowledges no differences between races and cultures, we are reminded of our common humanity. But in our common humanity, we might also have the very uncomfortable feeling that we are huddled together on a small planet in the midst of a vast universe. We worry about one another. We worry about our world. But in our moments of worrying, it's important for us to remember that we are not alone. The world we live in may feel very small at the moment, but it is not small in importance in the eyes of God. The world that we live in is very important to God. In fact, the world that we live in is a world that God loves. It's a world that Jesus died for. This is the message we are given in the Bible. It's a message that is very prominent in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. It comes out in a deep conversation that Jesus has with a very powerful and learned man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's a serious student of the Jewish scriptures. He's also a member of the Jewish ruling council. This council is what we call the Sanhedrin. As a member of the Sanhedrin, Nicodemus is one of the leaders of Israel. But unlike some of the other leaders of Israel, Nicodemus is not hostile to Jesus. He's interested in what Jesus is doing and saying. He wants to get to know Jesus better. So he comes to see him. But he comes at night, probably because he doesn't want anyone else to know who he's talking to. When Nicodemus comes to Jesus, he greets him with what he thinks is a compliment. He says, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." These are words of great respect. One of the most powerful men in Israel is addressing a carpenter from Nazareth as Rabbi and calling him a teacher who has come from God. Nicodemus is not wrong in doing this, but he has not seen the full picture. Jesus is more than just a special teacher. And Jesus is about to say some things to Nicodemus that will show that he didn't just come from God to teach people. He came from God to raise people to God. Jesus tells Nicodemus, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And Nicodemus has no idea what Jesus is talking about. As they keep talking, Jesus tells Nicodemus some big spiritual truths. But again and again, Nicodemus misunderstands what Jesus is saying. Jesus is talking at a spiritual level. He's talking at a heavenly level. But Nicodemus is thinking at an earthly level. His vision is very limited. He can't see the bigger picture Jesus is talking about. This is exactly what happens when Jesus talks about being born again. Nicodemus is completely confused by this because he only knows about being born in an earthly, physical sense. He says, "How can a person be born again when they are old? Surely they can't go back into the womb to be born a second time." Jesus explains it to him by saying that a person has to have a human father to be born in the flesh and enter the kingdom of the world. But if they are going to enter the kingdom of God, then they have to have a heavenly father. If they have a heavenly father, they will be born in a spiritual way. That's what Jesus means when he says flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. Being born again means being reborn spiritually. It means being born into spiritual life. As some translations put it, it means being born from above. There's something very mysterious about this process of being born again or born from above. That's not surprising because being born again involves the Spirit of God. And as Jesus says, the Spirit of God is impossible to pin down. The Spirit of God is like the wind. The wind blows wherever it pleases. And you can't predict where it's going to appear and where it's going to go. The Spirit of God is the same. The Spirit of God is always moving in surprising and unpredictable ways to bring spiritual life to people who don't expect it. For one person, it might happen in a dramatic moment, with faith in Jesus bursting into their heart and their whole life changing in an instant. For another person, it might appear softly and gradually, such as when you wake up one morning and realize that you believe in Jesus, even though you can't point to a specific time when that started. The Spirit of God brings spiritual life in different ways to different people. Nicodemus may be doing his best to listen to all this, but he still doesn't understand any of it. He's still looking at things in a very limited and narrow way. Jesus is speaking to him of heavenly things, but Nicodemus is stuck thinking about things in an earthly way. Nevertheless, that does not stop Jesus from giving him the big picture. Jesus goes on to speak of the most heavenly things of all. He says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. In the Old Testament, when Moses lifted up a bronze snake on a pole, everyone who had been bitten by a real snake was healed. By the grace of God, they were saved from death. Jesus is saying that he is going to be lifted up on the cross, so that everyone who has faith in him will be saved from death, spiritual death, and given eternal life. That means that when you are born again by putting your faith in Jesus, you have a life that will never die. You have a spiritual life that is eternal. But why would this happen? Why would Jesus sacrifice his life on the cross so that we can have eternal life? What is motivating this extraordinary act of mercy? The answer to this comes in that famous verse that we know as John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. Jesus is God's gift to the world. God gave his one and only Son to be lifted up on the cross, so that anyone who believes in him can have new life. And there is only one explanation why God would give this gift. This is a gift given in love. It's done for no other reason than love. This gift that brings new life, eternal life, heavenly life, is given in love. And this is a gift that's not just given to a few people here and there. It's a gift that's not just given to people that we know or people who are like us. It's a gift that's given for everyone. It's a gift that's given to the whole world. Right from the very beginning, this has been God's plan. We see in the book of Genesis that God wants to bless the whole world. Genesis tells us that when God calls Abram, he doesn't just do it for Abram's own benefit. God doesn't just want Abram and his family to get the blessing for themselves. He wants the blessing to go far and wide until it covers the whole earth. God tells Abram, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. It is God's desire to bless all peoples on earth. It is God's desire to show his love to the whole world. No one in the world escapes his notice. Everyone in the world is precious to him. As the old children's song puts it, he's got the whole world in his hands. This is an important reminder for us whenever we are tempted to think that God just loves us or the people like us. It's also an important reminder for us when we're tempted to think that God just loves people who are holy and righteous. God's love is much bigger than that. God doesn't put any limits on his love, and there's more than enough of it to go around. God's love is big enough for everyone, no matter who they are or where they are. God's love is big enough for the whole world. Billy Graham once said, "I believe the love of God is absolute. He said he gave his son for the whole world. And I think he loves everybody, regardless of what label they have." Mike Iaconelli was a highly respected Christian youth leader who was often speaking at church conferences. He frequently traveled some distance from home to do this. After one particular conference, he rushed to the airport to catch his plane home. But the flight was delayed, so he missed his connection in San Francisco. He was stuck there for hours waiting for the next available flight. The weight of being stranded in an airport a long way from home really started to depress him. Then he remembered that his son and daughter-in-law lived not very far from the airport. It would be a local call for him to phone them, and then he could talk to his grandson, Noah. He thought that talking to Noah would be just what he needed to cheer him up. He phoned his son's house, and to his pleasant surprise, his grandson picked up the phone. Mike said, "Hello, Noah." And a little voice at the other end of the line said softly, "I hava nithada." Noah was just learning how to talk. Mike started thinking that grandchildren learning how to speak really shouldn't be talking on the phone with grandparents who are hard of hearing. But he was happy to be talking to Noah, so he tried to communicate with him the best way he could. He said, "Oh, you're playing with Dada." Noah said, "Dada pluda train." Mike figured out that meant he was playing with his train. But that's about as far as the conversation went. Mike kept trying to understand what Noah was saying, but eventually it proved impossible. He finally said, "Let me talk to Daddy, Noah." With that, there was a long silence. Mike thought, great, Noah is not searching for Daddy. Noah has abandoned the telephone and is playing with his train. I'm stuck in this airport and the telephone is lying on the floor. Who knows how long it will be there? He was just about to hang up when he heard Noah's voice saying softly but clearly, "I love you, Grandpa." Those four words were the only words that Mike needed to hear in that moment. They put into perspective all his frustrations, all his anxieties, all his disappointments. These were words that spoke to his spirit and lifted his heart. In the cross, God says, "I love you," to us. He says, "I love you," to each of us individually, and he also says, I love you, to the whole world. In times of frustration, disappointment, and anxiety, this is what we need to hear. We need to hear that God loves us. We need to know that the difficulties that are happening to us and around us are not a sign that God has turned his back on us and the world we live in. God's love is as big and as strong as ever. God's love is with us in whatever we are living through, and it is a love that will carry us forward forever. In the cross, God says, I love you. Those are words that speak to our spirits. Those are words that lift our hearts. They are words that give us light in the midst of darkness. They are words that put absolutely everything into perspective. They make us alive when we feel dead inside. They make us feel like we have been born anew. This is the big picture God wants us to see. God wants us to see ourselves the way he sees us. And he wants us to see our world the way that he sees it. He wants us to see that he's got the whole world in his loving hands. Amen. Let us pray. O God, your love is always with us. Remind us of that in times of anxiety and frustration. Give us the hope that comes from knowing that our future is secure with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.